What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holland, and you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, BRM.
Hey, yo, this is D-Rock.
What's good? This is your boy, Intellect.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell.
What's good, everybody? This your boy, TC, and you rocking with the Bookkeeper, 24-7 podcast, whose hand's always on that plow. So keep it tuned in, because we in the field, man, changing the culture for God. Let's go.
Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but their testimony, musical influences, and other topics throughout our culture. On the 17th episode, Daryl chops it up with Christian hip-hop artist D-Rock. In this episode, they discuss how vital it is to have a support system when leaving jail, how to adjust to society after jail without being institutionalized, and why did D-Rock turn down his probation? D-Rock will share his powerful testimony. He also discusses his latest project, Blessed Up, which is available on all digital platforms. So, without any further delay, let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
How about a little music to count me money to?
Rolling in dough, you would think it was bakers. Yeah, hundreds and fifties, the green got them shifting just like they was racing. Yeah, speeding through them lanes after the money and women they chasing. But it won't fill a hole that's inside your soul. All them chances that you wasting. All them chances that you wasting. On the block acting crazy. Selling your souls just for a chance to be famous. Now, homie, you spacing. What you doing with your life? Always running around towing guns. Homie could die tonight. Hey, playing games out in these slums. Hold up a minute. Give me a second. Gonna give you some wisdom. Gonna give you some knowledge. Don't end up a victim. Cause up in these trenches, you quit to get flipped on the streets. They don't love you. Homies, they been gone. Christ never left. Homie, what has you been on? Thinking you right. Homie, you been wrong. Chasing the spirit. You chasing that V-long. Ooh. They stacking that paper. Rolling in dough. You would think it was bakers. Yeah. Hundreds and fifties. The green got them shifting just like they was racing. Yeah. Through them lanes after the money and women they chasing. But it won't fill a hole that's inside your soul. All them chances that you wasting. Yeah, my soul is so dirty. He washed me clean, bro, then no detergent. All of my sentences ran concurrent. The old me is dead, new me emerging. My heavenly father, yeah, we conversing. Praying for brothers who steady searching. Seeking the spirit, cause theirs is hurting. Yeah, when the cashier won't feel, stop whipping that work in a trap, you get killed. I found a way out, let me show you it's real. I spent my whole life trying to make me a meal. Hey, nothing short of blessed to make it out. God called the play, I ran a route. Planted a seed, now watch it sprout. Living water, never seen a drought. They stuck in that paper, rolling in dough, you would think it was bakers. Yeah, hundreds and fifties, the green got them shifting just like they was racing. Yeah, speeding through them lanes after the money and women they chasing. But it won't fill a hole that's inside your soul. All them chances that you wasting.
Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, where we don't want nothing on the book. We getting in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, that is. Follow us as we follow him as we navigate through this world, changing the culture for God through media. I want to give a special shout out to my beautiful wife for the excellent intro and my partner, Get 'em J, for the intro music. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the podcast, family. And without further delay, I want to welcome D-Rock to the ride. What up, what's up, and what it do, D-Rock?
Man, what's good, brother? Just hanging out.
Man, hey, man. Welcome to the show. I really appreciate you being on the podcast, my brother.
And I appreciate you giving me the invite, man. It's a pleasure to be here, for sure.
Man, I had to give you an invite after listening to that EP, right? Hey. But we're going to talk about that later, man. Praise God.
Amen.
Yes, sir. So let's take it back to the beginning. Tell us where you're from.
Well, I grew up in Melbourne, Palm Bay area in Florida, Brevard County. Started out there. It was kind of crazy growing up. You know, it's different from where I'm at now. Florida was, it's a whole different type of ball game out there, man. So,
but absolutely. Yeah, so besides the weather, getting from Palm Bay to Macomb, Illinois, right? That's a mileage in between though, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a long way. Yeah. It's about 20 hours.
Oh, yes, sir. See, I'm already a fan, and I know one of the listeners, man, that's where my brother, which is the co-CEO with me, that's where him and my mama at, right there in Brevard County. Mama retired at Patrick Air Force Base. Brother, you know, he works in Orlando now, but they still in Palm Bay holding it down.
There you go, man. Small world. That's crazy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, did you grow up in a two-parent household?
See, my dad was around up until I was about 12, and there was a separation between him and my mom. See, I watched them as I was growing up. I watched them fight between each other a lot, you know, and there was a lot of stuff going on between them that I didn't really understand at the time. But my dad ended up leaving right around when I was 12, and that's kind of where things started to spiral, you know what I'm saying? That's where kind of things started to change for me.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Did that cause any kind of, like, now that you're older and you're able to process it, does it still have any kind of daddy, mommy issues in your life from that trauma?
No, I don't think it. I really have any kind of leftover, like, issues or stigma behind it. It more or less just drove me to want to do better and be better as a parent and set a better example.
Amen. Amen. I like that. Man, how did it feel to be featured in the Hype Kingdom magazine?
Man, it was pretty awesome, actually. So I didn't reach out to them. They went ahead and sent me a message in my inbox and invited me to come and talk with them for a little bit. And they wanted to feature me on the magazine and the website and stuff. And man, it was awesome. It was definitely a pleasure to be able to work with those guys.
Amen. I learned from that write-up as well and listening to your music, you were deep in the streets that involved drugs and the gang life.
Yes.
How deep in the gang life were you? You don't have to call the gang out or anything like that, but was it a major part of your life?
Absolutely. Yeah, growing up, it was definitely a major part of my life, for sure.
Have you been able to minister to some of the people you left in the streets?
As of right now, there's a couple people that I grew up with that I still stay in contact with. But for the most part, when I wrapped up and I left everything, I just left everything, man. I didn't really talk to a lot of the people because most of the connections that I had were, like you said, like gang members or drug dealers or somebody who's involved in that type of thing. And when I left Florida, I was at a point where I was like, bro, I'm done. I'm ready to go. If you want to mess with me, hit me up on Facebook. Other than that, I just wiped everything clean. I got rid of my phone. I got rid of everything and moved forward, man. So yeah, I've got a few absolutely. Of them that stuck around, but for the most part, all that stuff, man, I got rid of that.
Absolutely. I could tell you were deep in the dope game as well. You know, everyone always sold keys or birds, but I can tell you was really about that life. Number one, because I can hear it in your music. Number two, because in your music, I can tell you are really trying to help people in that lifestyle and not glorifying the lifestyle as well.
Absolutely.
How hard was it to walk away from the money?
Ooh. It was a hard process, man, to walk away from that. You know, it was a process over years of time. It wasn't just something that one day I was just like, all right, we're out. I fought with myself over this for a while, and I eventually just got to a point where I was just like, bro, I gotta go. And I made the decision to pack everything up and just go. I mean, it took a while to figure it out, to really decide that I was done. You know, there was a couple of times where I was like, oh, I'm done. You know, when I get out, I'm going to get right. You know, everybody, when they get locked up or they're, you know, stuck in that situation, oh, I'm going to get right when I get out. I'm going to be good, man. I'm going to get this. I'm going to do that. And I had all these plans, man. But as soon as the reality hit, when I hit back in the streets and all them same people from the same circles came back in, man, it was just like, you just get wrapped right back up in it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been there. That's part of my my testimony as well. So from the article too, and from your music, I could see, you know, from the gangs, from what you shared, from the hustle to prison. How hard was it to transition from prison back into the world?
Man, for me, it wasn't real hard to transition back in, because most of the bids that I did were shorter bids. I think the longest stint that I did at one time was 2 years, but it was a compilation, man. So I caught charge after charge, and it would just stack up and roll over. So I'd be mm-hmm. in and out of county, in and out of courts, and on probation and ankle monitors. And I mean, it was just this cycle. It was a revolving cycle. But for me, the hardest thing when it came to like getting away from that was, what do I do now? You know, like I got rid of all this. I'm trying to better my life. I'm trying to live right. But now what do I do? Like, what do I like to do? Who am I? You know, do I like to go bowling? Do I like to, you know, I didn't really do those things. Those things didn't mean nothing. It took me a while to kind of figure out how to just be normal, you know, how to go out and hang out with your friends and not be getting high and drunk and selling and doing all those things, man. It was new. It was definitely a new thing.
That's right. Not be institutionalized as well, like I bet, you know, because in that in and out of jail and prison and stuff like that, we pick up some things, how we have to guard ourselves and things like that, and then we bring that back to the world. So I know that's a transition as well.
Oh yeah, there's still things I deal with in my life now from being institutionalized like that. When you speak about it like that, there's things in my life that I still hold like that for protecting myself. Like when it comes to my emotions and my feelings and things about me, I'm not quick to share those things. I'm not somebody who's just going to be come out quick and be like, hey man, I'm struggling. You know, I'm the type of guy who's just going to deal with it and keep it low, because I was always taught, you know, you open up those things, you share those feelings, it gives room for people to aim at you and use those things against you, and it just makes you look weak. So like for me, being able to calm that down and really reach out to people when I'm struggling, that's been my biggest thing. Cause a lot of times I kind of bottle it up, man. I spent a lot of time in confinement, so I didn't really have anybody to hang out with and talk to.
Oh yeah, I can get that, because I know a lot of times the world will look at a Christian as being weak. And then when you have a background of, you know, where you came from like that, and then we have to realize that the strength really is in Jesus, and we are weak. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes that's a hard transition to do when the world laughing at you or thinking you may be a weak man and maybe not know your story or your testimony, where you come from. Did you make up your mind in the joint you weren't going back first, or did you make up your mind when you got to the streets?
I made up my mind the last time around when I was locked up. So my last time in, really against all odds, I'm here, because when it came down to everything, my last little run-in that I had, man, it was crazy. The judge looked at me and told me, Mr. Johnson, you realize that the charges that you're facing right now, you're looking at a maximum of 67 years in the Department of Corrections. And I just looked at him like, bro, you know, and for me to be able to be sitting here right now, and to walk away from all that. See, I got caught up with some dudes who were scamming, and they were stealing things from Walmart. And I ended up getting involved in all this, and they tried to hit me with like 46 counts of grand theft. By the grace of God, he saw me through that. And I came out on the other side. So my last time that I was in there, I really came to a point, man. I was sitting in my cell and I'm like, man, I can't live like this no more, bro. I can't do this. And I reached out and called my mom and like, look, I can't come home. You know, she's like, what do you mean you can't come home? I'm like, if I come home, man, it's going to be the same thing. I'm going to come right back. I'm going to end up right back in here, or I'm going to end up dead. You know, I can't keep doing this. And that was really my decision was when I was in there. But there was lots of factors that came in between the actual like decision and me following through with what I decided, you know. So.
Oh yeah, that's what's up. Yeah. So when you made up your mind, them doors rolled, you was a free man. Your support system when you got out, which I think is vital to every inmate getting out. Did you have a support system with you? I know you uprooted and moved and, you know, stuff like that, but.
My support system's always been my mom and my pops. After my growing up and my dad, you know, he left and all those things. When I got a little bit older, I really got to see things for what they were and started to understand things. And me and him kind of leveled on some stuff, talked about some stuff, and we've actually got a closer relationship now than we did before, you know. So
amen.
God restored those relationships in my life. But yeah, my support group was always my mom and my dad. They were the ones who were behind me.
Amen. Yeah, because that rolls me into like the next question I had. It's kind of chopped up, but you know, that revolving door is a big part.
Oh, yeah.
Of being in and out of jail. And I see a lot of churches kind of turn their backs on people with a past like that, because we all have past. We're all sinners. Oh, yeah. What could we do better as a church to give a better support system to the ones that don't have anyone?
Man, as a church, man, just as a whole, I mean, less judging of people and just loving people, like really actually living out what Christ called us to. And he definitely called us to call our brothers out when they're slipping, but when it's somebody who is trying to get their life together, they don't need to hear all that, oh, this and this and that. They want to hear that they're loved. They want to hear that they're supported. And that's how they really find Christ, is through that love. It's not because of everything that's coming out of your mouth. It's the Christ that lives through you, the things that you're doing for them. I mean, even if it's just sitting and listening to them, you know, a lot of people don't have people to talk to. And when they do talk, nobody wants to hear it. So just to be able to have somebody to sit there and listen to you, bro. Like, I mean, when I was getting my life right, like, I kept to myself a lot. And when people would try to invite me over to their house with their family for dinner, I'm like, why would you want me at your house, bro? Like, why are you showing me this love? And really, that I never understood what love was. So that they were really trying to show me this love, and it really did. It molded my heart, man. It taught me. It changed me.
Amen. Amen. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, D-Rock. When we come back after these messages, we'll be hearing D-Rock's testimony.
Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. If you want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. Also, if you would like to receive a $20 gift card from Amazon, follow the link in the show notes and sign up for a paid plan. This will notify Buzzsprout that we sent you, and you'll receive more details. This will definitely help support our show. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters who's already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together.
What's happening, people of God? It's your boy, TC. Man, if I can have a moment of your time real quick, just to let y'all know, I got a new single out called Little Saint, featuring my brothers Hugh Holler and BRM, which will be streaming across all major digital platforms. Man, the root, the foundation of this song, man, is talking about how we're not made to fit in and how we're okay with that. And when we try to fit in, it never seems to work out like it works out for all those around us, right? Man, if you ever find yourself saying, I'm trying to fit in how they do it, but I can't. No worries. You peculiar. Hold your head high, little saint.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with D-Rock. As we move into this segue, I'd love to hear a testimony, and so do our listeners. Can you please share your testimony with us of how you came to Christ?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So growing up, man, my parents believed in Christ. They believed in God. We went to church. I went to a Christian school, but I never really found that faith myself. You know what I mean? Like when I was younger, it was I was living off of their faith. So I was following what they were doing. I didn't really believe on my own. So I went through my life kind of figuring things out on myself. I didn't really have that relationship. So as I grew up and got older, my parents separated. I was about 12 years old. You know, I watched them fight for years, like I said before. And it just came to a point where neither of them could continue to do it. And when they separated, man, it really messed me up. It changed a lot of things in my life because, you know, my dad was someone I really looked up to. You know, and I didn't understand the situations that were going on, but I kind of held those things against him. I held bad blood against my dad because he left. And because of the time that he left, it was actually right around Christmas Day that everything went down. So that kind of compounded on things. And I started hanging out with the wrong people and smoking weed and cigarettes and hanging out on the block. And man, my brother was a dope dealer. So I kind of always had this, like, I looked up to him as almost like a father figure, and I wanted what he had. You know what I mean? I seen the glamour of it. I seen the nice cars and the nice chains, and man, I wanted that for myself. So I spent most of my early adult life, well, I can't say adult, my later teens, I spent running the streets with a gang and getting caught up selling dope. Doing a bunch of stupid things, man. I don't want to say that I regret it, because I mean, everything made me who I am now and gave me the testimony that I have. But there's a lot of things that I did in my past that were pretty crazy. And when it comes to God, there was no part of that in me. I was cold, man. I really was. From everything that was going on around me, and I just kind of blocked out the pain. I blocked everything out and I went cold. So for years I went in this cycle of in and out of jail, getting into fights, getting locked up, getting put on probation, getting put on ankle monitors. I mean, it was just one thing after another. And it started right around 12, 13 years old. I caught my first weed and paraphernalia charge. I was 13. And by the time I was 17, I caught like some major charges and went to a program, a JIT camp. And I got caught with a like crack and a gun, and they had me marked down as a gang member. So I mean, all these things weighed on me. So that was like my first real big thing, and it took me away from home. But see, that when they lock you up like that, and it's not something that like you're ready to quit or whatever, that doesn't change anything, man. It only made me worse. You know, being locked up in there, it only made me worse. It put me around a bunch of other people who were just like me and gave us time to just think of stupid things, man. But, man, the time went on, like I said, and I ended up losing pretty much everything, bro. I lost my wife at the time. I got married when I was, it was 2012 that I got married. and we had a son. And that was kind of the beginning of where I decided I was done with things, because I was trying to do right for my son, but I was so caught up in everything that I didn't really know how to do it. And I got locked up again and came home deciding, oh, I'm going to be done. And when I came home, I thought that everything was going to be good. I just did 18 months. I come home, my wife at the time was running the streets, and she was selling herself for dope. And she was all caught up in this stuff, man. And my son was with my mom. My house was gone. My car was gone. And I lost it, bro. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not even going to cap with you, bro. Like, I lost it. I lost my mind. And I went crazy for about 8 months. Like, I didn't talk to nobody. Nobody knew where I was. Nobody knew what I was doing. If they heard something, it was bad, you know? I got up into doing dope, and that was where it really went downhill. So for that 8 months, I came home, I was like 235 pounds, fresh out of prison. 8 months later, I was 156 pounds, bro. I went crazy, bro. I just buried myself in this. You know, I was at a point where I was at my lowest. The depression was crazy. I tried offing myself. I mean, it was bad, bro. And that last time that I went in, right after all this went down, I got locked up after this binge, and it was kind of a timeout, I felt like, from God. He was like, you know, you made all these decisions before, you were going to do something right, and then when something went wrong, you just immediately went right back. Like, you never said those things. And this time around, I was looking at a big bid. I was looking at a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm fresh out of prison, and I'm looking at another whole book of felonies. Everybody around me's like, bro, you're gone, bro. You're going up the road for a long time. And I'm like, man, I don't believe that's what God's got for me. You know, I sat in my cell. It was probably like 2 o'clock in the morning, bro. I'd been in there for like a week. I'd been struggling with everything, and I didn't want nobody to see me. So I sat down and I covered myself up with a blanket in the corner, and I started praying, bro. And I gave God everything, bro. Like, I was cussing. I was mad. I told God I was done. I couldn't live like this no more. I was tired of this. If you were real, show me. Like, show me a way out. Show me what I need to do, and I'll follow you from here on out. Like, show me, because I'm at a point where everything that I do only makes this worse. I'm not making nothing better. I'm only continuing to ruin myself and bury myself in this. And God kind of came into my heart. It wasn't like a verbal thing. Like, I didn't hear him per se, but it was something that he put on my heart, was to reach out. And that's something I'm not good at. He's like, reach out for help. I want you to reach out. So I called up my mom and told her, you know, I was done with everything. And she's like, I don't have the money to bond you out. And I'm like, look, mom, I'm not looking for bond money. I'm not looking for nothing like that. I want to get right. I can't live like this no more. I need to get off these streets. And we searched around for some places. We found a few different places, and none of them felt right. And she mentioned this one place. It's called Heartland. It's out in the middle of nowhere in Missouri, bro. And when she mentioned the name and she started talking about it, I just immediately felt it. You know what I mean? I felt like the spirit was touching me. It was like, yeah, that's the place. That's the place. And she didn't even have to explain no more. I'm like, that's where I want to go. And she's like, you sure? Like, it's way out there. I'm like, hey, that's where we're going. So I made those plans while I was in county. And I'm like, look, I don't know if it's going to be 5 years from now. I don't know when it is. But when I come home, I'm gone. I got to leave. And she's like, I'm proud of you. So I sat in this county. I was in there for 3 months before I went to court. And I'm sitting in there with a smile on my face, man, walking around. I've been reading the word. I felt at peace with God because I was, you know, I knew when I left here I was going to be right. And that I knew whatever I faced, whatever was coming ahead, I was going to handle it, you know. We're going to move forward from this. And I ended up getting called up. It was time for court. We went to court. And they pulled me in there. They're like, oh, we want to give you community control. I'm like, man, I've been on probation 5 times. And you want to put me on community control again? You think I'm gonna make it? I don't want to do that. And he looks at me and he's like, well, they're offering time too, but I didn't think you'd want that. And I'm like, I just want to be done with this. He comes back to me and he's like, they're offering 6 months in county jail with no time to follow. And I looked at him like, are you crazy? Yeah. I'll do that, right? I've already done three. That means I only got a month to go. Let's go. 85%. I got it. So I sat there for that next month, man, with a smile on my face, like, man, God's got me. We're really gonna do this thing. So I get back, man. I get out of jail, I get home, and I'm trying to call this rehab that I chose. And I've been calling it for like 6-7 days, bro. And I'm to the point now where I'm just discouraged. I'm like, how am I going to be able to go to this place if they can't even answer the phone? And the crazy thing is, this whole time I've been calling them, bro. I called my mom up. I'm like, hey, can you give me that number again for the place? But believe it or not, I was dialing the number one digit off for almost a week.
No, man.
Almost a week. I've been calling the wrong number. I didn't even know. See, then I felt like, to me, I felt like the enemy was trying to put a stop to it. And just even the smallest little ways, he was trying to stop me from moving forward with what I said, just to put me right back where I was before, where I made all these promises and then fell out because something happened. But after 6-7 days, I was right back in that same circle. I mean, I was hanging out right back in the hotel rooms with girls and a dope dealer. And I mean, we were right back in it. And it really hit me when I sat there and I looked at a picture on my phone. I had my background on my phone was my son. And I looked at that picture, bro, and I'm like, man, bro, you're so selfish. Bro, what is wrong with you? How selfish do you gotta be, man? You got your son here and you're right back in the same circles again because you couldn't get these people to answer the phone. Like, I didn't try hard enough or something. I don't know. But at that point, I made that phone call. I walked out of that room that night. I mean, it was the middle of the night, bro. And I made a phone call to this rehab place, and they answered the phone. And
praise God.
When they answered the phone, bro, I was like, look, do you guys have a spot open for me? I got everything, all my tests and everything taken care of. Do you have an open bed? And they're like, yeah, as soon as you can get here, we got an open bed. I'm like, I'm leaving tomorrow. Because if I don't leave tomorrow, I ain't coming. If I don't get out of here right now, this ain't gonna happen. Something else is gonna stop me. I gotta go. So I packed up all, like, I don't know. I had a backpack full of clothes, bro. I packed up my little backpack full of clothes and hopped in the car and drove all the way here. You know, man, when I got here, I didn't know what to do. I'm looking around. I grew up in Florida. I come out here and all I see is corn and cows and pigs and just big open land. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I can do this. We drove by a sign, population 96. I'm like, what? I didn't realize that there's really places like this. They're that small. I just didn't know. I mean, I grew up in the city. So I come out here and it's just crazy, bro. It was a whole nother world. But where I really found Christ, man, was in that prison cell. And it was actually a jail cell. It was a county jail. And he touched my heart in that moment because I was real, because I was raw with him, because I gave him my heart. Regardless of the words that were coming out of my mouth at that time, I feel like God knew my heart and God knew what I wanted. And man, he's done nothing but bless me since then, bro, for real. It's
Amen.
It's hard to explain, you know, and not everything gets better or not everything is perfect after you're saved, man. Sometimes it actually gets harder because you're going against the grain. You know, you're going against everything that you ever believed, everything that you ever felt, you know, all the fleshly desires and things. It goes against all that. So there's going to be trouble, man. But, man, my troubles today are nothing in comparison to my troubles back then, man. So I praise God.
Amen.
I thank God for that.
Amen. All glory to God. See, that's why I love to hear the testimony, because I love to hear the comeback. And through that testimony, even with you praying in the raw, God met you where you was at. Mm-hmm. He met you exactly where you was at that time. And he touched your heart. And one of the things I like to do in this segue is I always give the opportunity for you to talk to that person out there that's feeling like life is an impossible way to win. if you could talk to that person right now, with all the obstacles and fences and things you went through, the should I follow God, should I not follow God, what would you tell that person right now that's listening, that is right there on the fence where you are at?
I tell them to go for it. Don't be scared of the unknowns. If it's something that you really want, you want to get rid of all that stuff. You want to get rid of the chains. You want to get rid of the flags. You want to get rid of that life that you've been living. You want to drop that, take that step, because you know, we never know what comes tomorrow. We never know what's fixing to happen. But one thing I do know for sure is that God's real, man. And like he met me, he can meet you in that place. And I mean, anybody that's struggling, anybody who really needs someone to talk to, anything like that, my DM's always open. I'm just going to be real about that, because I never really had anybody to talk to like that. I didn't really have somebody I could level with and talk to about those things. So I'd say, you know, we live in this life when we're in the streets and we're running those things. It's to not be scared, to not be scared of anything coming. And if there's any time to not be scared, it's with this, man. Trust it. The God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan to prosper you, to better you, and to move you forward. Because there's so much better than being stuck in that cycle. There's so much better than being in and out of jail and making your mom cry. And I mean, just losing everything. Because really, I mean, we gain a lot of things, but we lose it all back faster than we got it. It's not worth it.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Yes, you are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, D-Rock. Stay locked in as we will be back after these messages.
Hey, family. I hope you're enjoying the show. In order to change the culture for God through media, we have plenty of opportunities for you to grow with us on the bookkeeper247.com. Do you need production for your podcast or YouTube video? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to do album reviews, start your own podcast, write your own devotionals? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to report Christian news, from hip-hop to book reviews, as well as related topics in our culture? Look no further. We got you. By partnering with us, we can do all these things for the glory of God. Email us at thebookkeeper247@gmail.com and let's start making strides to influence the culture from a godly perspective. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with D-Rock. As we move into this segue, when did you want to start using your gift from God for God?
When I really decided that I was going to use this gift for him. So I got back into the love of writing again when I was in rehab and actually started learning how to play the guitar. And I taught myself, actually. And I don't know. I've always had this gift with music. I've always loved music. I've always been a writer. But when I got saved and I got my life right and I'm sitting at rehab, I decided that I wanted to make my poetry and my writings about him. So I started doing that. And it progressed from the writings to going to Bible college to learn more. And then I was actually out of the rehab. I had moved in with my new wife. We had beautiful kids, man. And we're actually just hanging out one night, and one of my buddies who makes music called me up. He's like, "Hey, man, if you're in the area, stop by, man. I got something for you." And I'm like, "Word, well, I'm actually out that way right now. Let me stop through." So I stopped by my buddy Kent's, and he's actually at work. He was a manager. And he comes outside, man, and he goes out to his car and pops open the trunk and starts pulling out these boxes. I'm like, "Man, what is he doing?" And he walks over, he hands me the box. He's like, "This is yours." And he goes and gets the next thing, and he pulls his stand out. He hands me it, and he's like, "I want to see you make something." And bro just handed me a whole Scarlett setup. The studio set with the interface, the microphone, the headphones, the mic stand, everything. I mean, just put it in my hands, and he's like, look, I'm done with it right now. I need to get myself right. He's like, but I've heard you write, and I've heard your music, the stuff that you write. He's like, I want to see you do something with it. And he just hands me the studio, bro, the whole thing. It's like, here, man, it's all love. And that right there wow. was where I felt like God was putting that in my hands. He's like, here, go for it. And I put out my first song. It was actually a poem that I wrote for my son when I was in prison. Daddy Loves You. So.
Oh, man, that's a blessing, man. That is a blessing. So so you go from the blessing of your manager giving you the equipment and everything, you do your first song, the letter to your son. Did you know that Christian hip-hop existed?
I knew Christian hip-hop existed when I went to the rehab that I went to. It was a Christian rehab. So I'm sitting here on the bus. I just got there, and this dude's over here listening to music. And I'm like, what are you listening to? And he tells me Christian hip-hop. And I'm like, I didn't know they did that. That's cool. That's cool, man. Whatever. And he's like, yeah, you can't listen to secular music here. And I'm like, bro, what's secular music? What do you mean? Like, it's just music, right? what are you talking about? And he's explaining it to me. He's like, no, man. So like, secular music's what you've been listening to, and then they have Christian music for it. And I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be corny. So buddy hands me the headphones, and I start listening to it, and he puts on some Bizzle, and I'm listening to Bizzle. Like,
oh yes, sir.
I'm like, man, it was like, I think it was the Messenger 2.
Okay.
And I'm listening to all these ones that he did that were like remakes of other songs. I'm like, bro, he's pretty good. So yeah. They really kind of opened the door for that with me, because I really didn't even honestly know that was something. Like, I knew that there was somebody who had to do something like that, but I really didn't know that it was a thing and that it was big. And they started showing me all these artists like McCray and Bizzle and all these dudes, man. And it really sparked an interest in my mind the more I grew in him. So.
Hey, man. Yeah, my first introductory was Bizzle. Yeah. And my barber's a pastor. And the Lord been tugging at my heart. And so I had confessed and started following Christ. And I was like, man, I know I can't listen to the secular music anymore. And to be honest, every time I put it on, it's like the Holy Spirit was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You can't listen to that, because in quoting Bizzle in one of his songs, he said that when they do drive-bys, they don't listen to Luther Vandross, right? So we know that music plays a big part on where we're at in life. And he gave me that Tough Love and Parables album.
Ooh,
and his first official, you know, release, not the mixtapes. And that Change Gonna Come came on.
Yeah.
And I said, what is this? This is crazy.
Was that the one with Mr. Range Rover on it?
Yes.
That's the same album?
Was it that one? I'm getting them mixed up now. Yeah.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bizzle. And I was like, and I love that talk. And coming from that street life. And then he turned me on to Thizzle and then Seven. And then I found the Crave that first, you know, I'm a late bloomer, but that first church closed, and I was like, oh man, I couldn't believe it. It blew my mind. That's how I kind of got off into the space. So I'd love to hear stories like that too.
Oh yeah, for sure. I've always liked Bizzle's type stuff, because he tells a story.
Oh man, he's a storyteller. I'm waiting on him, and I said I wasn't going to mention this on the show, but I put it out on Twitter. I'm waiting. I'm on a Bizzle. If anybody know Bizzle, get in touch with him. I'm waiting on the track about Will and Jada. That's the one I want to hear.
Oh, you know? Man.
I don't want to hear nobody else do it. I just want to hear Bizzle do it. That's it.
You know it's going to come, too. I like that Joyner Lucas joint that he did. I really like that one, where he kind of responded to him almost like from God's point of view. I thought that was really cool, man.
That's right. And I think that's where his lane is, to the responses. And you know it all. I've been following him a while, but the death threats and the, you know, when he do responses and stuff like that, it's just crazy. But the man painting the story, and he telling the truth with it. Yeah, shout out to Bizzle, God over money.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of Christian hip hop, one of the questions I like to ask: do you have a hard time separating the business of Christian hip hop with the ministry of Christian hip hop?
It can be challenging sometimes, honestly. But I've learned to separate those things, because when it comes to the business side of things with CHH, it's got to be business. But mm-hmm. when it comes to anything outside of that, man, it's all love and it's all Christ. And it's not that Christ isn't a part of those things, but when it comes to business is business. If you're doing this and it's something that you're making a living off of, or if it's something that you're benefiting from, I mean, you've got to be serious at some point. If you're serious mm-hmm. about your music, you're serious about your craft, business has got to be business.
Amen. Yeah, I like to hear that, because that helps me, because we do a lot of stuff just out of our pocket. Some of the stuff is, I find a hard time to charge for something that is godly, right? You know, that's my problem. But thank God I got a team around me that they don't have that problem. So when it comes to like the business, I'm not the good business guy. But my brother and the pastor that I mentioned, shout out to Ed the Barber, they're good at business. So whether I handle the business through my relationships, it's through their advice.
Yeah. It's always good to have a team like that, though, for sure. For me, like I do see where you're coming from about the charging people for something that's a gift, that's Christ and things like that. But when it comes to like somebody making music with me, say if somebody hit me up for a feature, I do charge for a feature. But when it comes to something with my feature, I try to go the extra mile with them, no matter what. If it's something that you're going to pay for, I make sure that I go that extra mile and I promote it on my page. I stay in contact with you and see those types of things build relationships between us.
Amen.
You know what I mean? There's been a lot of brothers who have reached out to me who have gotten features, and it's built a relationship with us. It's a business, but you've got to handle it in a certain way. I feel like it's more of letting God kind of guide those things for how you handle it. Cause I mean, I've had people that hit me up to do things and they don't have money, or they don't, and I work with people. It's not that I'm just going to be, oh no, I'm not going to work with you because you don't have the, it's not about that. If I feel like God's tugging on my heart, I'm going to do it. But I've also learned that just because it's Christian, it's still the music business. And there's a lot of people that do things real dirty. I've worked with a couple mm-hmm. people, man, that it's a Christian thing, but it's not about that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to explain, but it's still just as open, because we are human. We're open to make mistakes. We do things and we get jealous, or we get prideful, or we're still able to be affected by those things. So not everybody's perfect, man.
That's right. That's good, because before we go into this last segue, that's a great outlook. And the way I look at, you know, we've been in this thing for a minute now, so I have a relationship with a lot of artists. So I like what you said about building the relationship. But through these relationships, I know that it's some dirty stuff going on in Christian hip hop. So yeah. What I like, you know, especially during the business, that's why I asked that question. And we've been done dirty, but I always try to keep it godly, and I try to keep it at this perspective. Like people that don't have a church home, right? Mm-hmm. Because they've been church hurt. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a lot of stuff that goes on in the church, because we all sick
mm-hmm.
going into the church, trying to find Jesus to keep prevalent in our life, to hear that word. So sometimes sick people do things that they shouldn't be doing. It's almost like the parent that sends their child to school with a cough knowing they sick. Mm-hmm. Right? I think it's a lot of people guilty for that. Nine out of 10 times, that person they sit next to in school, they gonna get sick. Mm-hmm. And then they gonna bring the problems home. And I think, mm-hmm. I like what you said about building relationships, understanding that it's a business, but also trying to be Christ-centered in that business. And I think that's the biggest key for anything that we do as Christ followers.
Yeah. And I mean, your discernment, the things that you learn through your relationship with God come in handy when it comes to those types of relationships. You know, you can, a term from the streets, real recognize real.
When you know.
When you talk to somebody and you know the fruit's not there, you can feel it. You know that this ain't right. That's not what they're in it for. Then you act accordingly. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody's going to be the same. And when it comes to church hurt and things like that, I've been hurt by a lot of churches. But the way that mm-hmm. I seem to look at it is if I'm following those people, then I'm doing it wrong. If I'm worried about what they're doing and Amen. The mistakes that they're making, and I'm worried about all that stuff, then I'm doing it wrong. Because I'm not taking that log out of my own eye. I mean, there's things in my life that aren't perfect. There's things in my life that I'm not doing. But at the same time, it's like if I'm not going to go to a church because the people in it, it's like saying, oh, I'm not going to go to the gym because there's too many fat people. Like, come on, man. You know, we're there to get right. We're there to be healed. We're all broken. No, there's not one of us in there that can say, hey, I'm free from sin, bro. And if we did, we'd be lying. We'd be lying. So everywhere that we go, we're going to have that, whether it's Christian hip hop, whether it's in the church in and of itself, we're always going to have that human error aspect of it. If we're following the people instead of following Christ, then we're always going to be off track.
Amen. Amen. And once again, this is the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with your host, Darryl Kemp. We are sitting down with an exclusive interview with Christian hip-hop artist D-Rock. Stay tuned, as we'll be back after these messages.
Yes, sir. You already know what's going on, man. Say, man, shine on me, the soul of the city. I'm locked in to the Bookkeeper 24/7. We in there. It's up there and it's stuck there. You hear me?
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with independent Christian hip-hop artist D-Rock. In this last segue, I'd like to talk about your latest EP, Blessed Up, and your newest single, Shifter. Blessed Up was an EP that had 5 songs on it with features from Red Tips, Morality, and Zay Hill. Was Blessed Up your debut project into the Christian hip-hop space?
It was my first project, my first actual project that I put together. That was my first real project. So I've released singles and stuff like that, but that was something that I wanted to do. And it actually got pushed back quite a few times. It just wasn't ready. It wasn't time.
So I think my favorite track is Blessed Up featured Red Tips. But that Back in the Blood featured Morality make me want to go get the 15s, the 12s, and the 10s in the door panel flex my expedition again, right? Okay. What's your favorite track on the EP, Blessed Up?
My favorite track, I'd have to say between Pain or Purpose and Legit.
Mm. Yeah, Legit, another one of them. Made me want to roll the windows down.
Yeah, man, I like that track. It came out awesome, man. It was definitely a blessing. I actually got to perform that one out in Cicero in Chicago. I did a little live show, and I got some flack for it because it was not a Christian show. The place where I went was in the middle of Cicero. It was at a sports bar, and all these other dudes that are coming in there, you know, it's straight up trap and drill. And I mean, it was crazy. But when I got up there, bro, they just looked at me like, man, they didn't expect they didn't expect what was coming. And when I started talking about Christ, they looked at me even crazier. But when it was all said and done, man, the respect that I got from these dudes because of it, it was awesome, man. It was unmatched. God did his thing in that moment, because I feel like, you know, it's one thing to go and get on stage and do stuff at churches and things like that. But I feel like places where I was at, that's where you reach people. You know, where I was at in Cicero, the people who were there were not expecting me to come out with what I did. They were not expecting to hear Jesus when they did, but I went and gave it to them.
See, that's what's up. That's, to me, that's ministry. And you have all these people picking, you're not supposed to do this. We had which we're becoming great friends now, Desi Yates on the podcast.
Okay.
And he shared his testimony on You Think You Could Dance. He was on one of the shows, and they was actually telling him, don't share your testimony. Mm. You know, but he shared it. And it was people that was in the crowd that got blessed by his testimony. And your story reminds me of, you can't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's awesome. What is your creative process like when you're putting a project together?
When I'm working on something, man, my creative process is a little bit different. For me, most of the time, I'm just sitting there listening to the tracks or whatever. It's not even necessarily like I pick a certain type of beat. I go through and listen to them, and when I feel something, it's like the beat's talking to me, you know? And the lyrics just kind of start flowing with it. It just, I hear it, and it's just something that catches me, and I start going, and then I write it out. I write everything that I do, and I sit there and go over it and over it and over it myself, so that by the time I'm done writing it and recording it and all that, I already know the song by heart. But yeah, my creative process is a little bit different. I normally take my time on the tracks and try to make sure that I can fit the right things to say in there, because it's cool to make a bop, but at the same time, I want, when you hear that, I want there to be something impactful in there. I've always been about the lyrics. Having a banging beat is awesome, but if you don't have the lyrics and the story to go with it, it's a waste to me, it feels like.
That's right. Do you feel like, with all script, I just thought about it, do you feel like the art of lyricism is leaving?
I don't feel that it's leaving, but I do feel that a lot of people just want the vibe. A lot of people just want the feeling, the bop. And when it comes to that type of thing, it's just like anything else. The difference between, you know, the West and the East, and some people like the New York rappers, and some people like the Cali rap. It's really just up to the people themselves. I think there's a lot of really, really, really strong lyricists in Christian hip hop. I know that for sure. Man, I've seen some guys in CHH that are insane with their lyrics, man. And it's awesome.
I know one that I think I've seen today somewhere, Jay Monty.
Yeah.
We already talked about Bizzle and Selah and even Bumps.
Oh, man. People sleep on Bumps, man. Bumps is a beast.
Man, they be sleeping on Bumps, man. Bumps. I see them up on TikTok talking about, look, I don't know how to do these duets, but I'm going to go and put something down. And I'm like, man, these metaphors are just crazy, Bumps. Yes, sir. So tell us about Shifting, your latest single now.
So I released Shifting. It was something that I was just kind of working on. And like I said, I'm sitting there writing to this beat, and it just starts coming to me. That hook just started going in my head, and I'm like, man. So I start writing this thing, and really the whole base of that song, Shifting, is talking about how in the streets, people are so quick to shift up on you for the paper. They're so quick to shift up on you for the money. You know, we think that we got friends. We think that we've got all these people, but as soon as the money gets involved, they're all shifting up on you. And I don't know, I just kind of wanted to make something that told the people that those streets, that life, it don't love you. That that's not your friends. That's not your real people. The people that we get caught up with and stuff like that, most of the time they don't really care about you. They'll switch up on you as soon as they get locked up, or they'll switch up on you as soon as the paper comes around. But when it comes to Christ, man, he's there no matter what. And that's kind of where I went at with what I said. Christ never left, homie. What has you been on? Thinking you right, homie, you've been wrong. So I was kind of coming in there saying that he never left that, and that there's a better way. It was just a fun track. I really liked making it. I enjoyed making that track.
What kind of projects does D-Rock see himself making in the foreseeable future?
As of right now, I don't have any like albums or anything planned. I do have some singles planned. And the next few singles that I do have planned that I've been in the works on are very impactful. They're more along the lines of the Pain of Purpose type of stuff that I've been doing. It's more hard hitting. It's transparency, talking about real issues, real life. It might get me some hate for some of the stuff, man, but I believe it's something that needs to be shared, because even though we're Christian, even though that we've changed our lives, we still struggle, man. We still face we still face things on a day-to-day basis. And we're not free from all that. Yes, God's going to walk through those things with us. Yes, God's got our back through all those things. But we still got to face them. We're still going to face those storms. Christ never promised us that everything was going to go away. He just promised us that he'd never leave us or forsake us. Period.
Amen. And I can't wait to hear, because that Pain of Purpose is more, to me, testimony, like a testimony track. Like, hey, it's rough out here, but, you know, this pain is for a purpose. And I ain't mean to spoil the song for you, because I want the people to go listen. But that's is what you were talking about, everything that you go through and still go through. And I would reference 23rd Psalms, which is my mother's favorite, one of her favorite scriptures, right? And although we walk through these valleys, and we're going to keep walking through these valleys, and we've overcome valleys, that he said that his staff and rod will comfort us. So it's up to us to keep our eyes on the staff and the rod and know that he's with us through these valleys. And that, you know, and he told us don't sit still in that scripture too. And you know, just, and I'm a firm believer that we can praise our way out of valleys. And we should praise just as hard in the valley as when we're on top of that mountain too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I can't wait to hear what's coming next. If I'm a new fan or looking for new music, what can I get from D-Rock?
There's always going to be a message in my track. There's going to be lots of things that have a vibey sound to it. I work with a lot of like hard trap beats and stuff like that. And I'm all about, you know, having fun with it, but it's got to have the message in it. If you're looking for something that'll get your head bobbing, I got that. But I'm going to give you the message along with it. I'm going to tell you something. By the end of the song, you're going to know, you know, why I did it. When it comes to what you'll find from me, I always want to say the real. I want to give the real. I want to give the truth. And that truth is what Christ did in my life and what he can do in yours.
Amen. Amen. Well, last thing, fam, let the people know where they can follow you at and cop your music.
Okay. So it's DRock_LMG on Instagram. Most of my stuff is there. That's my main social page. I'm also on TikTok. It's the same thing. If you go to the link in my bio on my Instagram, everything's on there. You can find, I'm on Spotify. I'm on all major streaming platforms. YouTube, SoundCloud, all of them. So if you go up in there and you look up D-Rock and you have one of my tracks or something, you look it up, it's pretty easy to find. I'm on Google. I've tried to make it more simple. So my main thing is I've got everything on a link in my bio. You can go there. It's a website. It's got everything you need. That's D-Rock_LMG.
Cool. And we're going to have all that listed in the show notes, family. And you know where you can follow us at? Just go to your favorite web browser and put in hashtag TBK247, and I guarantee we'll pop up everywhere. Last but not least, D-Rock, man, I just want to be able to pass a message on and a blessing on to you that the Lord keeps propelling you in your ministry and covering you, not just you, but your family, because when we're out here doing this ministry, our family is a part of it, and they have to put up with the different times and the different things that we have to do in the ministry. We know we're on fire for Christ, but Christ also guides us to take care of our family as well first. So I just want to pass that on to you, brother. Man, I love you. I love your ministry. I want God to keep encouraging you and giving you the fuel to go out there to change the culture for God.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I pray the same things for you and your ministry, man. It's an awesome thing that you got going.
Amen. Thank you. And we'll see you next time on the ride, family. We out.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. It has been a wonderful time with you on today. We hope that you have been blessed and encouraged by the artists sharing their testimony and their story about their ministry, what they've been through and what they've done. We hope that it encourages you wherever you are in your walk and your journey in life with the Lord. At this time, we actually want to pray for you. So wherever you may be, if you're in your car, at job, at school, wherever you are, we want to take this time to confess some of God's word over you, to bless you, to encourage you, and that God will show himself strong in who you are. So without further ado, oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time in this place. We understand that any moment with you is precious. We understand that any time with you is precious. And we understand that whatever you are doing in this moment, in this time, is for your will and it is for your glory. We thank you for those who have tuned in and who have listened on today. We hope that, Lord, you use this platform to bless those, to encourage them, that they walked away with something that they didn't have when they first started listening. We thank you for the artists who have shared their testimony, who were obedient to your call. And Lord God, they came on here, shared what you've given them, and we hope that it plants seeds, Lord God, for those who are listening. At this time, Lord, I ask that you bless every single last listener, that you encourage them. Father God, that you plant a seed of joy inside of them. Lord God, if they may be dealing with any type of depression or anxiety or any frustration, anything the enemy has convinced them of, Lord God, trying to rob them of the joy, the peace, and the happiness in their life, God, that you will remind them, Lord God, that you are loving and that you are kind. For those, Lord God, who don't know you, that they will come to know you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit will compel them to bring them closer to you, to have a greater revelation of who you are, to understand your greatness, your glory, and your presence. Father, we pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name, and we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we thank you in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. We are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, AudioMac, and many more platforms. If you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside the show notes. There, you will have an opportunity to give a one-time blessing or monthly if you choose. Basically, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give would be very much appreciated. The donations will help our ministry help others, as well as our growth regarding better equipment, so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again, and until next time, God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless.